You have about a year left in office. What are your top three goals for that remaining time?
Let's really continue what I've been doing over the last 3 years. And as you know, that's investing in education, really making the hard decisions to put the resources towards K-12 education and higher education and infrastructure. We got off our borrowing when we built our roads and bridges, and also, of course, workforce development. I think there's a role to play for government in getting the gap closed between people looking for work and companies looking for people to hire, and that's called the skills gap. And then lastly, cities and towns. I mean, I've been very, very consistent. I've been a former mayor and former councilman to helping particularly our distressed communities that were really hit hardest by the deep cuts in the previous administration and state aid. So Woonsocket, West Warwick, Providence, Pawtucket, Central Falls, these are the five communities really hit hardest by those deep cuts in state aid.
Do you expect the mediation in the lawsuit over the pension overhaul in 2011 to be able to produce a settlement?
We're working hard. Certainly, I think that would be in everybody's best interest to have a settlement. I don't want to risk a court ruling against us. If we can come to a settlement, and we're working very hard through mediation, I think that's in everybody's best interest.
What terms to you would make for a successful settlement?
As you know, there's a gag order, so I'd rather be vague about it.
In terms of 38 studios, we know how taxpayers remain on the hook for about $90 million. The state is moving forward with a lawsuit over the failure of 38 studios. How much of that $90 million might the state realistically be able to recover?
Again, you never know. It's the same thing with the pension reform. You get into litigation and you just don't know. We hope to work hard to recover the whole $90 million, and that's our goal. But I can't predict. We have a good case, and we have good lawyers. I know that much.
There are some who believe there should be an independent investigation convened to examine what happened with 38 studios. Do you support that idea?
We'll see how. I'm focusing on our court case. That's my focus. And if others think there should be an investigation, let them pursue that. I put my energies on this recovery of the taxpayers' money.
Some might say that 38 studios was the signal failure of state government in recent years and that there needs to be a separate investigation outside of the legislative oversight process to document exactly how this happened, as there was after the state banking crisis. A good idea or not so much?
What went wrong with 38 studios, I think there were two things that occurred. One was panic. And panic is never good. Yes, the economy was going down, but there was just panic by the EDC board, by the governor, and ultimately by legislators when they agreed to it, those that knew about it. And then secondly, there was groupthink, and that's a bad attitude also. It's a phenomenon which any kind of independent opinion is stifled. That's the definition of groupthink. And when I was arguing, and a few others, very few others, were arguing that we should slow this down, there's an election for governor, let a new governor make this decision, these opinions were very, very, very much railed against and stifled. And when you look at the board of the EDC, big business leaders and members of the Chamber of Commerce, and it's unbelievable to think that we'd invest that kind of money in a retired baseball player that had no business experience in an industry that's very, 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 very difficult to be successful.
Let's talk briefly about Rhode Island's version of Obamacare, known as Health Source Rhode Island. Do you believe that this program is going to be sustainable in Rhode Island?
I just know that it's worth trying something different with our health care system, and that's how the Affordable Care Act came to passage through Congress. Everybody was saying, let's try something different. And now that we're trying something different, there are a lot of critics out there, but I'm still willing to cast my lot with let's try something different. I do think the health care system was unsustainable. I know having been a governor and a mayor, we had to pay the rising Blue Cross for our United Healthcare for our employees, and it was always going up every year, 10%, 12%. We had to try something different. So there are a lot of critics out there, but I think we're going to put our elbows and our shoulders to the wheel here and try and make this work.
At some point in the future, the General Assembly will be asked to, or the governor and the General Assembly will be asked to include tens of millions of dollars to keep Health Source Rhode Island going. Do you believe that there is an appetite for the state to put that money into the program?
Oh, yes. We're doing well here in Rhode Island, and there's going to be a cost. The federal government has helped us get it started, and then eventually we're hoping with everybody having access to health care that we'll have a healthier population and health costs will start to come down, and that's the model.
Governor, what will your priorities be in your next budget?
Again, I'm going back to what I've – nothing radically different from what I've done the past 3 years because that's what I believe in. And so we're just going to continue to do what we've been doing, education, investing the dollars to further our education, educate our people. And it's a great equalizer as we see some of the disparities of opportunity here in the state. Invest in education, keep higher education affordable, make sure our roads and bridges, our dams, our fiber optics, all our infrastructure in good shape, do some work immersion and some internship programs and take care of cities and towns. So it's taking care of the basics. That's what I believe in.
What have you learned since becoming governor that you didn't know before?
I pretty much, having been in politics a long time, knew what I was getting into. I knew that here in Rhode Island we have a very strong General Assembly. That's just comes with the territory. I just, probably more than anything, just how stressed out people are out there, and the smallest issues become big issues, fanned by, I would say, irresponsible media. And so I think we got distracted over the last 3 years on issues that we should not have been focused on.
What do you expect your legacy as governor to be?
Probably, Ian, to be honest, the team that we assembled here. And when people look at this administration, they see Richard Leach as director of administration, Janet Coit as director of environmental management, Mike Lewis, who I kept on at DOT, Steve Cosentino down at Human Services, Dr. Fine at the Department of Health, Charlie Fogarty, Labor and Training. It's just a terrific team. And you look across all those agencies of state government, you see really good, methodical adherence to high standards. And that's what I think that taxpayers want to see, how they spend their money. And you can go down to Department of Motor Vehicles now and make a simple transaction in a humane amount of time and be treated courteously. DEM, we're changing the whole culture over at DEM so you can get some permits in a reasonable amount of time and know the status if you haven't gotten it. I think people are going to look back at this administration as really adhering to high standards of excellence.
What are your plans for after leaving office?
I've got a whole nother year, so I really want to focus my time on this year coming up. And there are a lot of challenges. We haven't talked about my energy bill, getting together with the other New England governors, the other five New England governors. We have a compact we've all signed on to, an energy strategy, and that includes working with the Eastern Canadian premiers, the five Eastern Canadian premiers. So I'm very excited about that, really excited about that opportunity. Not only is it regional, but it's internationally, and our goal is to have low-cost green energy. And I think that can really be a big boon to our economy. I'm really excited about it.
Beyond that, is the state adequately preparing for the issue of climate change? And if not, what else should it be doing?
Well, that's a big part of it. Here we are in this region addressing climate change at the same time trying to drive down our cost of electricity.
Do you think that one approach that you mentioned is sufficient, or should the state be doing other things to prepare for that?
Well, it's a national and an international issue. A lot of the developing countries are obviously still burning coal. Electricity generation is really a major contributor to climate change. So certainly the cars and the other vehicles out there. But when you're generating electricity with huge coal-burning plants, that's happening around the world. And we still have to focus that this is it is occurring. Climate change is occurring. And then secondly, it's because of human activity. Once you reconcile yourself to those two things, it is occurring, which a lot of people don't believe. And then secondly, because of human activity, which the scientists are saying is true, then we have to fix it.
It looks like voters will be asked in 2014 whether to convene a constitutional convention. Do you support the holding of a convention?
Absolutely. As you probably know, it's how I got my political career started as a delegate to the Constitutional Convention of 1985. And I think we're overdue to look at our Constitution again.
What are some of the key issues that you think should be examined?
The main thing is the power between the executive and the legislative branch here in Rhode Island. We have one of the strongest legislative branches in the country, if not the strongest in the country, left over from really colonial times. And so that would be an area I think that the delegates would want to address, and the people of Rhode Island.
Governor Lincoln Chafee, thank you for sitting down with us.
Thank you, Ann.